Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 55. Feels like we've been doing this for a long time.
Double five.
Yeah, when's this going to end?
It's never ending.
I'm going to do this forever?
We're going to do this forever. And if you drop out, we're just going to get your sister to take your place, and she's just going to make fun of Derek.
He doesn't even talk to me, let alone talk to you guys.
But if we give her an hour to talk bad about you, she would.
That's right.
She's got nothing to say about me.
If I just said to her, listen, you can have an hour to just complain about whatever you want to complain about, I feel like we could get – like, I think we should just have your sister on the podcast as a guest one day.
Should I text her and see if she'll come?
I don't want to have any context. I just want her to speak her mind. I just want her to come on and just – what's her name? Gianna?
Yeah, Gianna, yeah.
What's her name?
Gianna.
Okay, so Gianna, just tell me how your week's going, and that's it. And we'll just mute our mics and just let her fucking go.
She doesn't even like she's almost disgusted with me, and I'm like super
nice.
That's
how my sister feels about me.
It's crazy.
My whole family feels like that about me, honestly. But
why? You don't seem like you're doing anything wrong. It's just the way it is.
I just don't do enough right. You know.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I don't know. There's nothing I can do.
I think we need to get her on. I think we need to have a live episode at your shop, and I think she needs to be there criticizing you for
That would be funny.
An hour. Be hysterical.
I bought my son a MacBook today so he'd like me.
Oh, nice.
He still don't like me. He's going away to school this week.
You know what you should get him, Derek? Oh, my God. You know those, like, those iPad cases that are, like, that thick foam so that the kid can, like,
for
throw
children.
The iPad across the car? You should get him something like that for
it's
his
like,
MacBook.
Like an animal, like ears?
Him. Yeah,
like in the shape of an animal?
It looks like a giraffe.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, I thought the first one would be a good idea to get as a graduation gift, like, four kids later. Now it's, like, enough. I'm just done.
Well, good thing you don't have any other ones.
He's like, I got an old iPhone. I was like, I'm done buying phones. I'm done buying computers. You're on your own. You can buy your own while we're here. But I'm
get
done,
out.
Dude. I'm done.
Get out of here. That's so funny.
But, yeah.
Shout out to Max going to college.
Yep. Come Friday, we'll be empty nesters.
Nice, dude.
Get the hell out of there.
Dog.
Been waiting a long time for this.
Gotta go get another dog.
Yeah. Well, she wants
Christina's
one, but
definitely coming home with another animal for
she's
sure.
She's dying to get one. She's like, we gotta get another girl dog, so. I've been looking. I haven't told her, but I've been looking, so I've been bored. So.
Oh, Jesus.
I figure while I'm home, punishment. I might as well do something.
Chris, when are you getting a dog?
I don't know. We talk about it all the time because my future brother-in-law is going to breed.
Oh, you said this.
I've definitely talked about
this.
You said that,
But every time Angela and I, like, really think about it, we're like, I don't want a fucking dog. Like,
yeah,
it would be so nice
ass.
To not have a dog.
Yeah.
Like, we have a great life now without another animal, you know?
Yeah.
What's coming first, the kids or the
away,
dog?
You have to board them. Ugh,
my mom
annoying.
Is like, have a kid before you buy a dog.
Really?
Like, because at least the kid, she is like, cool, because at least the kid is, like, manageable, you know? Like, a dog you got to bring out to walk. I don't have to go walk a kid.
Dude,
like,
you got to change diapers. The dog lasts
like
12 years.
Yeah, but the thing is, think about it this way. The dog will always need me for its whole life. 12 years.
Wrong. So will a kid. Chris, a kid will need you for the next
6 years old,
30 years.
The kid is he's going away. The kid's going to work in the mines when he's six.
Yeah.
As soon as he's old enough to do one.
All you
got to
do for your dog to the mines. Is let open up the door, let it go take a shit,
not
and
even
put some
get
food
a,
in
a
bowl.
A doggy door. The dog.
Or that.
It's true.
The kids, they go from one problem to another. It goes from like
having a kid is
diaper
a nightmare.
Diaper rash to teething, from teething to
and it
walking,
gets worse, I think, like, as the years go
to
on,
walking,
probably.
To, you yeah, know, then 100%. It's like school problems, and it's like boy-girl
yeah.
problems.
Then they're driving
it's
in
driving
car.
Problems. It's just
college.
One problem after another. Yeah. And then it's like they go full circle. It's like then they leave, then they're coming back. It doesn't stop, you know. It's like that's what I was saying to Paul the other day. It's like you got to pay for the college, you pay for this, pay for that, and you think you're done, and then your daughter's like, oh, I'm getting married. It's like, what? Like,
and
like,
you just go, like, I'm sorry, who is this?
Yeah, it's like, find me a bridge to jump off of. It's just, it doesn't stop. But it's just you know, it is nice. I complain all the time about it, but I if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't have anything to complain about.
Well, so but the other day,
I think you'd find a couple things.
Yeah, I might.
What are you,
I might,
crazy?
It wouldn't be this new microphone I got, though. I sound great when I'm complaining.
Jeff, what do you think?
Jeff, give me the 411 on this mic.
We should have him on here, except we would never be able to, you know, with our schedule.
Oh, he would rip. He would rip us, too. He wouldn't want to see us.
Yeah.
He would just rip us.
No, I think we tried. I think I even sent a message. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can only do like Tuesdays at between 2 and 3. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this ain't going to work for this crew.
Eventually.
We're doing this at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's like, Jeff, we work. Well,
I know.
I used to work.
Yeah, I was going to say, Derek, normally this would be like, this would be a tough sell. But I knew that Paul could do it at home now.
Yeah,
and Derek. I know Derek didn't have anything going on tomorrow, so I have to get up at 5 tomorrow. So
I got a message from Mighty Mike today. He says, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" He goes, "Did you retire?" I go, "No." He goes, "Dude, I haven't seen you work in months." I go, "I know. That's the issues, guy."
Yeah,
pray
things
for me.
Come up. Life. Yeah. That's right.
I'm gonna go back.
Join my GoFundMe.
A guy from work came over today. He had never been over here. He was over here like 10 years ago. He's like, dude, you can't go back. I'm like, I know. I was like, I don't want to, but I got to. So yeah. I'll figure it out. It'll work out.
Yeah. Well, I'm in Florida for work right now. It's not been an easy trip in terms of getting here. It's not. Yeah. It's been a
Where'd
tough
you fly
couple
out
days.
Of?
It's been a tough couple days, guys. Let's talk about my last three
Where'd
days.
You fly out of?
Today I flew out of JFK, but my problem
nightmare.
wasn't the flight. It was the goddamn Uber. There's no
Ubers. Dude, Ubers are the
dude,
worst.
Dude, so this morning, I always take an Uber from my house to JFK. It's $50 plus a tip. It's fine. Somebody else has to pay for it anyway, so I could give a shit.
I
take
Uber
a
Black.
Freaking space shuttle. So this morning, this is my bright idea. Last night.
Why is there no Uber?
So there must just be like a shortage of people doing it. And I also live a little bit out of the way, but listen to this. So on the Uber app, it says schedule a ride, right? So you would assume that schedule a ride means that when you do that, they contact an Uber driver and arrange for the ride. They tell someone, hey, if you want to make $50 tomorrow morning at 5:45, click on this and you just have to make sure that you're there. That's not what it does at all. All it does is it automatically starts the search at that time.
Oh, that's the
doesn't
dumbest
do anything.
Shit ever.
So this morning, I'm up. I get up at 5, and I get all my shit together. I'm downstairs. I'm like, you know what? Like, I should make myself something to eat. So I make some toast, whatever. And then I'm watching the Uber app, and it's counting down, saying, like, your ride will be selected in approximately, like, you know, 10, and then it's counting down. So it's like 5:30-ish, and I had put in 5:45. So at 5:45, it started searching for a driver.
Oh, God.
At 5:55, it said, there are no drivers.
Oh,
so I'm like, fuck, my flight is at 8 a.m., and I'm 35 minutes from the airport, right? So I'm like, oh, shit. So I start calling taxi companies, and the only person that answered, I called three, was like, yeah, dude, I'm sorry. I have, like, no drivers, and all my drivers have previous bookings. He's like, next time just call us a day in advance and we'll get you on there. I'm like, great, that doesn't help me. So then I'm on Uber and I'm switching between Uber X and Uber XL and Uber Black, because at this point I just need to get to the airport.
Uber Pool.
How much it cost. So I get a guy, he's 21 minutes away, but he accepts the ride. 5 minutes after, he cancels the fucking
ride. Oh, they always do that shit.
So now it's 6:05. And I'm like, oh shit. So then I get another guy.
He saw probably it was to the airport. That's what he saw.
Yes. It was 19 minutes away from me. 19 minutes away from me. And he accepts it. And I'm just like zoomed in on his little pin. And I'm like, if this guy doesn't move in like a minute, I got to cancel this, because he's just – so like there's a thing. And I've actually like – somebody told me about this or I read about it. So if you book an Uber and the Uber driver selects it and they cancel it, they get a negative strike against their account for canceling the ride. But if you cancel it, you get the negative strike. So what they do is they accept the ride, and if they don't want to take it, they just don't move.
Or they
drive in circles.
That's happened to us.
They drive around the block a few times, and then you cancel it so that they don't get the negative strike.
And
so I'm watching this guy's car.
You have to pay a fee.
Yes. I'm watching this guy's car, and I'm like, this motherfucker better make it. And I'm about to send him a message and be like, dude, I will give you a serious tip if you show up. But then I was like, that might make him nervous. That might make him think, like,
yeah,
I shouldn't.
Yeah, you got a body.
Maybe he's a serial killer.
In the back of the car.
So he doesn't get to my house until 6:35.
Oh,
and my flight is at 8. So I'm like, so we get in the car.
Tell me
you're
pre-screened.
So you can go right through security. I'm not pre-screened, but I bought the faster...
Yeah.
Even more speed JetBlue ticket.
Yeah.
Because JFK has its own, basically own terminal for JetBlue, so they don't do the pre-check or the clear. So anyway, mm-hmm. I get to the airport at 7:10. My flight is at 8. And I'm like, fuck. So I get in, and the airport is mobbed with people. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I go to the lady. I'm like, hey, I go to like a faster line, right? I show her my boarding pass. She's like, oh, yeah, you go right through here.
It's always the end of this line, sir.
Right? So I get through security, whatever, everything's fine. But I was so frantic this morning about this goddamn Uber ride. I was so pissed. I literally sat around for 20 minutes waiting for the app to do exactly what I had to do. I was like, oh, it was terrible. But at the end of the day, I made the flight. I made it to Florida. It's like 9,000 degrees here. I don't know how the hell anybody occupies
hell
this
on Earth.
State. In August. It is
Everything's
horrible.
Got AC. Don't worry about it.
Dude.
That's what everybody says.
Brutal.
I don't understand what that means.
It is
brutal.
Yeah, every
work
store
outside.
Has air conditioning,
yeah, yeah.
But you still got to get to the goddamn store.
That's why so many people drive their
like,
cars through the front of these buildings.
This is also like COVID central down here. Like every
hospital
has like the every bed is filled. So I'm like not touching anything. I feel like you, Pinto.
Dude.
I'm like
alcoholing
myself. It's not
good.
Crazy. My buddy called me today. His father died of COVID Sunday night. Guy was 80 years old, and he wasn't vaccinated, and it was crazy. This guy owned his own business, sold it, and he was working delivering pots. He didn't need the money, but he loved like just going from place to place and staying busy. He was working 35 to 40 hours a week. It was the wedding I made the sign for, that kid. Mm-hmm. Her grandfather died, and the guy's 80 years old, and he goes, I'm not getting the vaccine, not because he didn't believe in it. He goes, I'm just so healthy. I don't take any medications. I'm fine.
That's
so
the dumbest. I'm sorry, but that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
I know.
He's in the exact demographic.
He got the vaccine.
It's like a death sentence.
Listen to me. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Listen to this. So he goes to the wedding. He calls my buddy like 2 days after, and he's like, hey, did anybody there have COVID? I got COVID. God. He's like, no, everybody's vaccinated. Nobody got it, Dad, you know? So his father falls off the face of the earth, and he's like old school, doesn't use a phone. So we're like joking about it. We're like, oh, your father probably died, dude, you know? Like, and you can't get in touch with him. This was last week.
Fuck.
He hadn't died then, but it was like, so he goes and visits him.
He died soon.
No, but the crazy part was he died Sunday night. No, this was like last Wednesday. We were joking. So he was still good and alive when I made the joke.
It was still funny then. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
It was still funny.
It
didn't get funny. No, listen to this. He said over the weekend, so like Thursday, Friday, the nurse said to him, she's like, I got bad news. She's like, your father doesn't seem like he's responding. And he goes, yeah, but he seems fine to me, though. Because he goes, my father was, like, fine. And she goes, no, I'm just telling you. She goes, we got two types of patients, those that respond to treatment, those who don't. Those who don't, we can't do anything for them. The only thing we do is put them on a ventilator, but
that's
most people
sentence.
Don't want the ventilator, you know? Because so many people die from it. So he didn't want to be put on a ventilator. But he said, like, all weekend, his father, for the most part, was, like, fine. And he goes, then all of a sudden, he just friggin' died Sunday.
That's terrible.
It was the craziest thing. He goes, I thought they were, like, wrong. And this kid's not, like, one of those mushy guys or nothing. Like, he's straight up, like, you know, like, just a, not a tough guy. But, like, he's, like, rattled by this. He's like, and I'm not trying to make a statement or anything. I'm kind of like, hey, do whatever you want. But I'm just find it shocking that he was just, like, describing it. He's like, you know, we were there over the weekend, and he was just, like, totally fine. And he goes, he just died Sunday night. He goes, his lungs just stopped working. And I was like, oh, my God, man. I felt so bad for him, you know.
Wow.
But, yeah, his father was always, like, a little bit of a wacko. But he just was like, you know, I'm just very healthy. I don't, you know, it was kind of funny. That's what we're laughing about. He's like, I don't see many strange people. He's like, Dad, you're delivering pots. Like, you're in, like, different buildings every day. Like, you're, like, the worst person.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh my God.
Just sad. Just crazy
sucks.
Though. It's
I
like,
could understand.
Just so quick.
If you're young and like you're hesitant, like
well,
I got vaccinated.
Father,
but
goes,
if you're old,
yeah,
you
like,
got to just take.
Yeah, but,
I mean.
Well, that's what
you
said.
You don't
goes,
have much time for
goes,
long-term side effects,
goes,
anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
It's like
know.
The time's
it's
ticking
so
already.
Crazy.
Take your chances with the vaccine because if you get COVID and you're 80 years old. It's like 1 in 10.
I know.
Like,
not
good.
Just
very
crazy.
Bad.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
Wow. That's crazy.
Don't breathe. Hold your breath, buddy.
Oh, this is a funny story.
It's not good, man. Not good.
We're gonna go from death to funny. Go ahead.
My
Let's
uncle, back when COVID first started, and my grandma, you know, goes to church every Sunday, and it's her big thing, and back like when COVID was getting really bad, and we didn't know anything about it. They weren't closing the church, and we were telling her, you got to stop going to church. Can't you just do watch it on TV or something? Like, this is bad out here. She's like, no, I want to go.
It's not the same.
She's like, I want to go. And I, you know, that's her like whole social thing. And you know, she's like 90 years old, does everything on her own, you know. But my uncle, who's like one of the funniest people ever, calls the priest at the church. And gets in a huge fight, screaming and swearing at the priest. The priest is swearing back at him, you know, screaming at each other. This is a Catholic priest.
What, like don't let people in? Like,
yeah,
like,
he's like, what are you doing with all these old people? You don't give a shit about them. You know, you just want the money that they're giving you. And the priest is screaming at him. He's swearing, and the priest hangs up on him, right? And so we're dying. The biggest mistake ever was he didn't record the conversation. He's dying laughing because he knows how crazy what he just did was. And then so he told her, and she's pissed at him. Why did he have to do that? Did you say my name? What if they kick me out? It's like this whole
she's gonna
big thing.
Get excommunicated.
Yeah. No, it's just crazy. And then I told him, you know what? If COVID gets bad again, you better call that priest up again. And this time we're going to record it.
I was gonna say this time you gotta have the camera rolling.
But it was pretty bad. Like I was pissed too. Like you know, this is when it was like real bad, the peak of it, the very beginning. And that son of a bitch, you know, they just want their
fill the hat.
Yeah, fill the little basket from all these old people.
It's like bad, like you know, the money thing. Not to get into a religious thing, but my mother was very religious. Went to church every Sunday. And I forget what we had to go there for like a communion, not a communion, like a baptism or something. Mm. And I walk in the church, and you know when they have like a plaque with like your parents' name on it? Right? When they build a new church.
You've given
like,
so much. They've
oh,
just,
yeah.
They've
yeah.
Just...
My poor dead father, that life insurance money, I don't want to know how much my mother gave the church, but when they have your name on a plaque, like, you know, they got duped, you know?
Dude, I had a tenant like, whose parents had, they were like third generation. They had a religious supply store. So they sold pews, statues, Bibles, all that
tchotchke
bullshit, the fucking candles.
Hostess.
And they had some money. They had some serious, like, generational wealth.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that is – talk about a fucking racket. Mm-hmm. Talk about a
Dude.
Selling the candles to Italy. To the little old lady. Oh, yeah.
You've been to Rome. When you see the Vatican, you're like, this is the greatest scam in the history of the earth.
Biggest scam.
It's the greatest – they pulled off the greatest scam ever, and you can never do it again. Because when you look at that place, you're like, holy shit. This is an unthinkable amount of money. You couldn't even put a value on it. Like, the whole Vatican and everything inside of it has got to be worth more than anything else on Earth.
Think about the amount of people who died just building it.
Oh,
my God. Think about, like, the bodies like that.
It's unthinkable.
You know, the people who, like were, like, born
and dead. But we're definitely
not
anti-religion. We're definitely pro-religion.
No, I don't know.
We don't want anybody to hate us.
Amen. God bless. God bless.
Thank God we're not recording this on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So anyways,
listen,
you guys been up to?
On a Sunday. So yeah, I went to Florida. That's what I did. And my fucking windshield got smashed by a tree. Oh. Everybody got to see that.
Can you imagine? I was expecting you to be under 6 feet of water. It drizzled out. Okay. That was some real fake news right
didn't
there.
Even
dude,
rain.
No, it rained. It rained.
In Boston, it didn't even rain. Till it rained in the morning, and it rained a little bit at night. It didn't rain all day.
It rained for 2 days in New York.
Really?
It never overwhelmed the pumps, but the night before the storm, New York City got the most rain in 1 hour that it's ever gotten in 150 years.
Oh, I didn't get rain like that.
Yeah, that was Saturday night, which was so funny because Macklin and I were at the shop and I had just finished like prepping for the next day and all of a sudden I start seeing water creep under the door and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh.
So I call Angela, I'm like, I might have to sleep here tonight. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I was like, what am I gonna do? I said, am I really gonna go home and just lay in bed? And like,
well, your shop floods.
I had a camera facing like the door that floods, literally just like right on it. And I was like, I'm just gonna watch this all goddamn night. Like, this is so annoying. Oh, dude, I was like at the end of it. And then Sunday came, I was so ready, and it rained all day. Nothing got inside. I wound up having like a pretty productive day until my windshield got smashed by the giant tree branch, which was not great. But I will say this: no body damage. That is unbelievable. That my pillar didn't just get crushed by that. And that would have been
what would happen with that
repair. Like, I would have to go to the body shop.
Could have totaled the truck.
Totaled the car.
It could have set the airbag off. It could have set the curtain airbag off.
Yeah, that's like classic. Like, used to be how you total a car, like, just smash that
thing,
the
pillar,
track the trailer.
Yeah.
You can't fix that.
So it was bad.
We had three tornadoes touch down in Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not moving to Massachusetts.
Yeah, but there was nothing. Last Thursday here, we got so much rain. My street flooded. I've never, 25 years, I've never seen my street flood. It
Your
was
basement doesn't get
thing.
Any
For
water?
About an hour, it poured, and I've never seen it rain like that. It was the craziest thing, and that was it, and then it was gone.
You don't get any water in the basement ever?
Never.
Wow.
That's nice.
We're getting all Southern-style weather now. It used to be that we don't get hurricanes, we don't get tornadoes, we don't get any of this shit. Now we get, you know, it's like, keep that shit down there. I don't want hurricanes and tornadoes.
We've had a couple hurricanes here or there.
Well,
yeah, we get a few
more recently in the past 10 years, we've gotten hurricanes.
I think
in
just the
New
news
England.
Hypes them up more.
Dude, Hurricane Sandy
I remember
was
as a, kid.
A disaster.
Yeah, but when I was a kid, we had Hurricane Gloria. We had the No Name Storm. That was a major one. In Boston, the no-name storm.
A no-name storm.
Yeah.
I never heard about that.
That sounds ominous.
Yeah, it was like the perfect storm, perfect events, and it wasn't even supposed to be like a storm. They made like a movie about it.
Was that the
bullshit.
Perfect storm one?
I think it might have been.
The movie?
I'm not
wasn't
sure.
that out of like Massachusetts somewhere?
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I don't follow that shit. That's too much work.
When I see forest fires in Connecticut, then I'm going to have enough.
I got so many messages from people saying, oh, last week the podcast was so funny when you guys couldn't hear
oh my god
and everything. And it was just crazy because, I mean, I couldn't see you guys. I couldn't, you know, I didn't know what was going on, and I apologize. So I got a new microphone just so it sounds so much better today. So, and hopefully we can all hear each other.
Yeah.
So how do you like Florida, Chris? You going to move?
I'm not moving. I got a lot of work to do down here, but I'm not moving. I have a you know, we have a couple things going on. I have so many different things going on in so many different areas of my life. It's,
yeah, I don't know how you do it.
It's exhausting. It's like, I don't have a single moment where I feel like my head isn't in something else that needs like a lot of attention. That's really the hard part is like, I've had like easy jobs and had a bunch of other shit going on where I don't really have to pay too much attention.
Mm.
Not that I don't have to pay attention, but like when you're like a carpenter and all you have to do is hang crown molding every
day. Yeah.
You get up, you go to work, you hang the crown molding, you worry about nothing.
It's not mentally taxing.
You leave. No. This job is like, you know, 7 a.m. the phone rings, 7 p.m. the phone rings. There's always some catastrophe and there's always like hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line that like, you know, it's just there's so much. And then there's a lot of work that's been coming through the shop, which is really good. And I don't mean to complain about, you know, being busy, but I can't satisfy some of these rush deadlines that people are trying to put on me.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just trying to be, I got the wedding coming up in like less than a month. So I can't, you know, overdo it right now, but I'm also, I hate disappointing people. I hate like, you know, getting a phone call from somebody and asking if I can do something in a week and me telling them like, I just can't do it. You know, like I want to just say, yeah, I'll stay at the shop late and I'll get it done. But you know, it's just not, sometimes it's just not sustainable. So
you got to enjoy your life too.
I know. And that's the other thing is like, what's the point? I can, you know, make all this money and just die. So
it's amazing. Like me and my dad were talking about like, how does this kid keep doing all this shit? It's like, he does like three, has like three full time. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, he probably just drinks 10 cups of Starbucks every day. Like, it's dude, like three full time jobs and then other shit on the side. I don't know how, you know.
When I find out how much I spent in 2021 on Starbucks, I'll let you know.
Oh my God. I'm addicted to Stokes. I do Stokes
You're a Stokes guy now.
Every day for the past 6 months. You're trying to wean off of it?
I'm trying to wean off it.
Which Stokes do you like, Paul?
I like the one Derek likes and then also the purple one. The purple. Yeah, the extra bold one. And I just put Hershey's chocolate syrup in and barely a splash of cream and that's it.
I love the idea of you having like a Hershey's chocolate syrup thing in your truck all the time. So
I have it in my Stokes, you can fridge at the shop. There. Yeah, I have a Hershey's. You know it's got to be the dark chocolate. So funny. The special dark.
You gotta fill a flask with Hershey's chocolate milk, chocolate syrup, so that when you pour it in your Stokes, everybody's like, look at this kid. He's really just barely getting through it. Look at him. He can't even drink his coffee without lighting it up a little bit.
Flask.
When I was just away, I was up in New Hampshire, and then for people who didn't know, I had to do a road trip to Maine, and I had to come back to New Hampshire. So I was in New Hampshire, and I went in this small little, like, you know, lakeside little grocery store. It wasn't like a regular grocery store. It was just a tiny place. And they had 7 bottles of Stokes.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, you know what?
I'm taking Somebody all get 7. Me a cot.
I'm taking all 7.
You so got to take them all. Because you'll never know when you see them again.
And I was leaving. That's right. So I was leaving the next morning to go to Maine for overnight. So I says to my brother-in-law, because all the family's there, they all drank it. I said, listen, I don't care if you guys go heavy on this, but like, you need to leave me 1 cup. Because when I get back, I need to go back to Massachusetts. So I need 1 cup left. So I didn't trust them. I took 1 bottle. I dumped some of it into my cup. No, I filled, I poured milk in it. So it was already pre-mixed. In the cooler. I got my extra thermos. I filled that one up. And then I brought it with me to Maine. So when we get to Maine, we're staying in this little guest house. So Samantha's, you know, boyfriend's family, they're like, oh, you stay here. I was like, you guys get a refrigerator? He's like, oh, yeah, there's a refrigerator in the kitchen. Go in there. He's like, oh, why do you got stuff? I'm like, yeah, I brought my own coffee. I'm unloading Stokes there. And then I need to make ice because I have to have my coffee ice. So I get water bottles and I cut the bottles open and I filled the water bottles half up with Stokes and froze, like a third up with Stokes and froze it. So I got coffee ice cubes. Just like such a sick bastard. It's like, just had to have it, you know.
Oh, my God.
Just so bad, so bad.
So funny.
But I tell you, that was so nice up there. We went up to way up on the seacoast by Bar Harbor, and, man, it was just – I was just looking at pictures of it before we got online. Samantha's boyfriend posted some pictures, and I felt bad. These damn weather people, they're so bad. She was supposed to come home, I think, Tuesday, and she flew home Saturday. Because of the hurricane, and never even rained up there, and it's just like, you know, they're just such shitheads, you know. But he was enjoying himself. He went on some nice hikes and he took some pictures, and I was just peeking at those, and back to reality kind of. And I'm just in like such a funk. I can't seem to get anything going. I don't know.
Well, like with projects and stuff?
Just, yeah, projects. And I mean, I've been picking away at a few small things, but just getting things going. I just don't know what to do. I feel like I got to rip my shop apart to make some room, and I just can't bring myself to do it, but I know I got to do that. And I got stuff at the house I have to do, and I can't bring myself to do that either. So I just don't do anything. So that's what I've been doing.
Once you get a taste of that Hollywood lifestyle,
picking up a little bit,
you can't go back.
So bad, so bad. No,
I can tell.
I tell you, we don't get season two or three. I'm fucking.
Oh my God!
I don't know what I'm gonna do.
You have to just produce your own show. Fuck it.
I'm coming out with some T-shirts, man. And I tell you, I'm getting a lot of people support me on Patreon. I really do appreciate that. But I'm going to have to, like, really have a huge Patreon campaign because I just I can't imagine just going back to work right now. I really can't. But I got to figure something out. So I'll be back. I'll be fine.
It'll all sort itself out. Yeah, if it doesn't, if you don't get another season, you just do another show.
Yeah,
Handmade Live.
Just sell ornaments. I'll
sell shit on Etsy.
Yeah, that's all. I'll just sell cutting board. Maybe I'll start a business selling cutting boards.
Dude,
I've never heard anyone do that before.
You can do it.
I think about your life, Derek, and I think about the stage that you're at your life, and you know, like your house in Malden and the value of that and your attachment to the neighborhood, and you're like, we're at like literally the opposite ends of our lives, right? Like I'm starting a family and getting married and all this shit. And I have the beginning of my career, my profession, my structured career. Right. Cause we all have our, well, Paul's got his shit figured out, but you and I have the double life career. And I think about how I'm envious of like where you can go, because I think about when I think about my life without a job, right? All I think about, and this is from my dad, is like what it's going to cost to live every month and how much I have to make. That's what my dad would tell me every time I would change jobs or I would quit a job and I'd be out on my own. He would say, you just have to make this much a week. That's it. He goes, and if you can do double that in 1 week, then the next week you can take it a little bit easy, you know, and eventually you're going to need more. But like, he would say, like, when I got my truck, I was so nervous. My first Sprinter, it was $550 a month. He's like, all right, well, with your rent, your truck and all this stuff, you got to make this much a month. And the rest of it, you know, is for food or whatever else. But you don't need to make those payments to a debtor, like a creditor. That was his big concern, was like not to go bankrupt. So you had to make sure you could pay the debts every month. Yeah. So I've always looked at my life with this like threshold of I just need to make this much a month and I can live here. And if I can make this much a month, I can live there or whatever it is. The way I think about your life and my life, and even like Paul to some respect, because Paul and I talk about property and expenses and buying a building and, you know, all these different things, like the threshold of income that you need as you make these changes and move, like, you know, Paul and I talk about where, you know, he's looking at buildings and property and the cost of that. And you talk about New Hampshire and I talk about moving upstate, the freedom that comes with some of that lower, like cost burden makes it so that you don't need to do that much. Not that you don't need to do that much, but it just makes it so that like you can do what you want to do. You know, like, you don't need to sell 1,000 things on Etsy every month if you guys sell your house and move to somewhere where the cost of living is that much lower and you have a bigger shop that can do more work. You know what I mean? Like, I look at my cost of living here and I think about the rent on my shop and the expenses and all these different things and thousands of dollars that I spend. And I think if I were to relocate, I could literally half the stuff that I do, but have the exact same quality of life with the same extra money at the end of the month. Because that's all you get, right, is the extra money. If it costs you $20,000 a month to live and you make $25,000 a month, you still only have $5,000 at the end. So if you can be left with that same $5,000 and you're fine, you know, I don't know. I think about your situation a lot.
Yeah, it's just, that respect. I mean, know what I think it is? I have to wait a couple years, you know, just to see. One, obviously, you're going to see what happens with the show. But then, you know, I have to wait till my kids finish college. You know, they're not gone for good out of the house. I mean, they're probably, you know, going to start their lives. And, you know, like my oldest, she's gone. And, you know, they don't really come back unless they want to, you know, they do for whatever reason. But, you know, they're adults for all intents and purposes. But I just can't imagine packing up right now and moving somewhere. And, you know, just I'm so close to the end with the job, but I just can't leave because it's like, you know, it's just it's a great part-time job, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a lot of money to throw away.
Yeah.
You know, for just a couple hours a day to show up, you know. So it's like realistically, it just, you know, the only way I think something would happen is if, honestly, if this show was like, hey, we love it. We're, you know, we want to do 4 seasons, you know, something like that. That's or something crazy, you know, or I hit the lottery, you know. But, you know, it's funny. I get an email today. Massachusetts was doing that, like, vaccination lottery, and Monday was the last day for the drawing. You have 24 hours.
What, to win something? Were they giving
shit away? Yeah, oh, yeah. They gave ridiculous. $1 million a week for 5 weeks.
No, they didn't.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
No,
oh,
to one person and $1 million? Or they spread it around multiple people?
$1 million every week and $300,000 to a kid from 12 to 18 for a scholarship, $300,000.
Oh, wow. So that's about how much you need nowadays for college. 300. Oh yeah.
And I get an email this afternoon. It says you have 8 hours left to claim your prize.
Oh my
I'm like,
God.
What? I'm like, is it the state lottery? It wasn't, but
what'd you win, like $8? No, or was it some
scam?
It
was a Nigerian. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I just had I gave my social and I was all set. But I just
have to wire them $15,000.
Yeah, yeah, because they didn't take checks, so I had to just give them some money. Yeah, yeah. It's not a big deal.
You sent them a sign. You sent them a really nice sign.
And yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but no, it'll work out. It'll work out. Things are better. You know, I got to remember that things are good. You know, instead of keep trying to think things are bad. You know, things are good. So, I got to focus on that. It's hard to do sometimes, but you know.
You know what it is? Are good. I say this and it sounds like bullshit, but I literally look at every situation in my life, every single one, and it could always be worse. Because every bad thing that happens to me in my life, I've had a worse thing happen, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, my windshield got smashed on my car. That cost me $500. The second it happened, I was like, $500. Great. Mm. So, like, whatever I made that day, that's gone. Whatever money I made that day doing whatever I did, that money's out the door. But it didn't put a ding on my Carfax, right? I didn't have to get body work done.
It didn't hit you on the head.
Hood. It didn't kill me. That fucking branch probably would have
killed me. That could have killed somebody. You're out there in that tent fighting the flood?
Yeah, my tent with the pump. So, like, and, you know, like... It could always be worse, right? It could always be worse.
It could.
Yeah. So. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
But I found a house today. Man, it's really making me want to move.
Where is it?
It's in Warwick, New York.
Huh.
It's like an hour and a half from me. It's like...
Westchester?
So it's... No, it's... I don't think it's Westchester. I forget the county now. So it's like, it's on the other side of the Hudson River from like where Jeff is.
Close to New Jersey almost.
Close to New Jersey, near like Middletown, near like Harriman State Park. So this property that I found though, it's $650,000, right? It's got two houses on it, like a guest house and a main house, and a timber framed barn. That I can't tell the size of it, but the guy has a forklift in it.
Mm-hmm.
In the listings, he's got a good size forklift inside this building. It's got, you know, nice. Polished concrete floors.
Oh, I see where it is.
That same house on Long Island would be like $3 million.
Yeah, Long Island's crazy. Like
on 2 acres, and it's $650,000. Like and just for some context, the mortgage on this house is a little bit more than I pay for my shop's rent. So we could literally just like move here. And this is what I talk about, like cost, right? Like I make the shop's rent every month. Like I make that shop's rent, no problem, every month. So that means I could basically pay for Angela and I's housing with just my shop's income, which would mean one of us could quit our job, hopefully me. And Angela could just go to work in the city every day and I'll be a stay-at-home dad.
Dude, how far is that from the city? That seemed kind of...
It's like an hour and a half.
You make us take a helicopter?
Dude, honestly, if we could live with that kind of mortgage
and you still make Blade the same money, service.
We probably could afford a helicopter. I could send her by Uber every day, and she could sleep in the car. You know, it's like somebody in my town, actually, this guy, he's a New York City fireman, nicest guy. He's got, like, a beautiful little family, and he's, like, he does a little woodworking on the side, a little, you know, he's got the fire department life. You know, he's, like, a contractor on the side. He works his 24s or whatever. He sold his house, height of the market. I think he got close to $1 million and moved to Warwick. And he's like, you know, I got places to run around, beautiful town. And he just is going to commute an hour and a half to the city to go to the firehouse. But when you live on Long Island, you commute an hour and a half anyway to go anywhere.
There's a guy that lives about 10 minutes from me. He's probably retired now, but he's a fire, like a lieutenant or something for the New York City Fire Department. I was like, you retired? He's like, no. Mm-hmm. He goes down there. Yep. He stays overnight, and then he comes back for like four days.
That's kind of crazy.
You know, one on, four
from
up.
From Boston to New York? Holy shit.
Yeah, but he's got family down there. He races horses. I forget where.
Does he ride a horse? Like, he rides a horse.
Interesting man in the world.
He just
but
blazes
it's just crazy.
There.
Oh, dude, this guy, he was nuts. He was nuts. But like I said before, my wife is the one – screwing up the plans because she doesn't want to leave her job. And no, she'll admit it. And it's like, you know, if that wasn't the case, I'd just sell everything and just bail, you know, and I'd just be gone. I'd take the money and run. But I just don't want to see her, you know, she's like, oh, I'll commute. I don't care. But, you know, even 20 minutes out of Boston is going to be, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour commute in the morning, you know, with traffic. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that sucks. And it's just like, I don't want her to work, you know.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I feel bad because the woman she works for, they're like best friends, but, you know, so I'm not going to take that away from her. It wouldn't be fair. You know, it'd be one thing, like, if the city said I couldn't work in my basement, then things would change. But it's, you know, I can still work here. I got to, you know, make better use of the room I have. And, you know, there's things I could do to make my situation better. You know, once I'm back to work, I can kind of do things. That's kind of just the big stumbling block. I don't want to do too much because I don't want work seeing me. I mean, I haven't been to work since April. You know, so and I don't want them being like,
that is amazing.
You know, hey, you can't work.
So
you
crazy.
Hey, go fucking work 33 years at Fairfield Steel. And if they don't give you a little time off, they suck. You know, it's like.
No, it's amazing. You know. I mean, listen, I'm happy for you.
5 months? Fairfield Steel can't afford 5 months.
Hey, then maybe you should go find another job.
Maybe you got to start making pizzas, Paul.
Yeah.
Maybe
oh, my God.
Those pizzas, you know, come with some financial.
The stainless railings. The stainless railings price is going to have to go up if my employees are taking 5 months off.
Yo, did you see my railing, Paul?
I saw that. Very nice.
Railing guy now. Yep.
Very nice.
Yep. Got paid nothing for that one, so. That was a favor job.
Ugh.
You know.
Hate the favor jobs.
Oh, yeah. That was it looks great. All right, see you later.
I do a lot. I do a lot of those.
Oh, thanks.
I got a particular group that get you know. I get a lot of favor calls.
A lot of favors. I was like, wow, that's cool. At least I got somebody else to pay for the material this time, because you know, every now and then you really get take a bath on that kind of shit. Oh, so annoying.
Worse is when they do the favor job and then they get demanding with the favor job.
Oh, it's this like, this one the paint
like,
was still.
Well, I really want to get it done soon. It's like, what do you? What do you? You know, beggars can't be choosers here.
Yeah.
It's like I'll do this whenever I want, or I won't do it at all.
Or when you get the old don't give me the favor price or the family price, but you know that's what they expect. It's like, you know, I remember Jeff had a good story about that with on Knife Talk one time. About, you know, people trying to beat you for stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I hate that. But
that's what happens.
I don't like asking people to do shit. No. I never ask anyone to do anything.
You know what it is? It's so funny because, like, this just happened to me the other day, too, where I had a buddy of mine who's a plumber come by. You ever seen those drain snakes that have the chains on the end? And they spin them and
they knock
all the shit off, like, the insides of the pipe. It's for like scouring, I think it is, or descaling, whatever. So a buddy of mine owns a great plumbing company locally. These are the guys that have the cousins that live in Wyndham, the guys that built all the chalets in Wyndham. So he's like, you know, we just bought this chain thing, and first time we used it, one of the welds broke where the chain was welded to it. I was like, you know, would you mind fixing it? I said, yeah, sure, bring it by. Take literally like one
Brings
weld.
It back.
Literally.
It's covered in shit.
Shit.
No,
yes,
no,
it was
immaculately clean and so whatever. It needed one weld. I mean, literally like pull the trigger for like 3 seconds. That was it. It was so fast. And so he, you know, whatever. He was there, we were bullshitting, he had a new like apprentice with him, so we were fucking with the apprentice and you know, having fun and hanging out. And then he goes to leave, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, if that thing breaks, just let me know and we'll just put another weld on it, because it was galvanized, and it was like hard to tell how well the weld penetrated, because it's not supposed to rust, right? And I told him, I was like, you're gonna have to watch it because it's not coated anymore and whatever else. So he gives me $50, and I'm like, dude, I don't want $50 for this. Like, that's first of all, it's way too much. I wouldn't have even charged a stranger that much to do that little weld. I would have just done it as a favor, because it took 2 seconds, like less than a minute. And he's like, no. And I'm thinking, like, he literally opened the door of my truck and threw it into my car and left. And I was like, all right. I said, well, that fixes it like 5 more times. I said, well, let's do it that way. I said, if you break it again, you're not giving me another cent. But it's so hard to get somebody not to pay when they want to pay, but also so hard to get someone to pay when they don't think that they need.
There's two types of people. It's people who are trying to give you money because they, you know, they appreciate what you're doing, or people that don't even offer at all. Like, if someone offers me, like, a friend, I'll never take money. I'll just do it. But I get the people that are just like, hey, can you do this for me? And this, and this, and this. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. Like, Louis, I have battles with Louis about trying to, because he helps me so much. Like, he's the most generous person I've probably ever met in my life. Like, I try to give him money.
He seems like a really great guy.
He's the best guy. I have never met a guy like this. It's, like, crazy. Like, I've only known him for a year. But he, I don't know. He's, like, the nicest guy ever. And I went and had to go buy him a bunch of Milwaukee tools because he helped me with my – like, he just does shit for me that, like, no one's ever done, like, and I don't I want him to. Like, I'm like, I get mad because he goes so out of his way to do stuff for me. I'm like, could you stop, please? Like, I don't need you
What's
to do this for me.
What's his actual business? They do boat repair or something, right?
No, he works for the electrical company that's next door in that big building. But he rents space from the guy next door to me in my same building. He rents space for his cars to fix cars. And that guy has the boat, like, rental and storage company. He literally is like the mayor of that whole property. Like, everybody, he knows more. He has so many
but
connections.
Who's paying him?
Oh, the electrical company.
Who's
That's
paying
his job.
Him? Like, okay. So he has, like, so, like, he's getting, like, a salary from
That's
somebody.
That's his full time job. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In
got
that
it.
That
okay.
big, huge
got
building
it, got it, got
is that electrical company that basically refurbishes. Like, they were just doing a job, actually, at the post office in front of the White House. They all had to go to Washington, D.C. and do some crazy shit inside that building. And it was, like, super, like, secure. But that's where he works during the day. But he does stuff for everybody. Like, everybody knows Louis.
Yeah, he seemed like a super nice guy.
Yeah, he's funny, too.
And that's, like, that's a great, like... It's so funny too the way that works out, right? Like you never would have met him, right, if you didn't wind up in that, like, industrial complex, right? And, like, you didn't. I mean, did you guys know the landlord? I forget how you guys wound up there. But either way, it doesn't really even matter how you wound up there. But it's just the fact that, like, you met somebody like that who's your neighbor, who's, you know, who's, like, he came down to Long Island twice with you to get the car.
Yeah, no, he's like. Truck. He's like, so when are we going? Like, as soon as I showed him, he's like, all right, when are we going? I'm like, you know, I mean, you really got to come all the way down. And then he comes twice. And then, like, that day I had to fight with him because I'm like, because we brought all the stuff back. And I'm like, just let me unload this. Like, go home. And he refused. He's like, I got to help you unload this stuff. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I got to do something for him. Like, he's just so generous with everybody. Every person you talk to that knows him loves Louis. It's funny, but
those
and then you got the opposite of Louis, which you encounter also.
Oh yeah, you get much more of the opposite.
Oh yeah, about 100.
I mean, Jimmy's like that. I feel like Jimmy's constantly helping
the
everyone.
Opposite
yeah,
of Louis?
No.
Jimmy's not the opposite of Louis.
Jimmy's too nice.
That just helps everybody.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Now I just need him to get another new forklift and give me the one that he just
got. Dude, that one was so nice.
That one he got is so nice. That's
the
like the ones
diesel,
that I've been
though?
Seeing on Marketplace. Why would he get a diesel?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, why would you not want one?
I guess it's
kind of
always
drive him inside.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I guess he's kind of always outside-ish or like right in that door, so it doesn't really matter. And diesel's
doesn't
easier to...
heat the place. What's he care?
Yeah.
Maybe he can
carbon monoxide poisoning.
Through the place.
You'll get a diesel-fired, like, furnace.
Oh, I wonder if that forklift has to use DEF.
No, I can't imagine it does. They don't give a
shit. Oh, you know what?
Run enough
it's when it's a certain horsepower. That motor's probably too small. But some of the bigger skid steers use DEF.
Uh-oh.
He froze for a second.
I don't know what happened. You hear me?
Were you saying that that's not enough horsepower for?
Yeah, I remember now because when I was watching tractor videos and stuff, once it hits a certain engine size, they require DEF now. But
fresh to DEF.
Yeah.
How often do you change put DEF inside your truck? Well,
not
I barely ever put it in.
Barely.
There. People bitch about it on the Sprinter forums all the time. They're like, "Oh, it's I can't.
What's
like,
it do?
I wish I got a gas.
It's
it just
diesel exhaust
the diesel
fluid.
Emissions.
It's I'm baffled by how
do shit.
Adding more chemicals to the exhaust can clean the exhaust. Like it does. I don't understand, but I guess it does something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that it there's that big filter in there. There's the DEF filter that like people get. You can get them cleaned. I've seen videos on like Mark on Facebook of like these shops where you bring your car and they take the filter out and they like they're disgusting because they have
they're
all
really
that
expensive
like, black
too.
Soot emission in it. Yeah, but I think the U.S. the EPA forces dealerships and car manufacturers to cover those to 100,000 miles.
Because oh, really? Yeah, because if it keeps breaking.
Yeah, I think, yeah, people will just pull them out. Like, people just delete it. It doesn't
most
do
people
anything.
Just yeah they delete just, the thing yeah. anyways, which if I had a personal vehicle, I'd probably do. Like, it's just a computer thing. Yeah. Like, I think you just leave it in there. Inspected. Well, that's the thing, yeah. But I'd say with my truck, I could never do that because I got to have inspections and all this different shit. But, you know, if it's,
That's funny. A buddy of mine stopped by today and just made me think when you're saying, like, you know, people can do that and all that stuff, like just people's little scams. In Massachusetts, for a while, they had white and green license plates. And at the time, they tried to, you know, I don't know if it was like the early 80s or whatever, they were trying to, like, conserve fuel with, like, recycling and everything. So they only made one license plate on your car. You only had a real license plate. And people loved it because if you had, like, a nice car, you didn't have a license plate on the front.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
What happened
like
with
that.
These license plates is they started peeling and they just, like, went to shit.
Fell
so
apart.
So they went to, like, back to like red, white, and blue, or whatever that.
Can't even
they
figure
have.
Out a goddamn license plate.
Yeah, yeah. So when you get your car inspected, these were notorious for like falling apart. So my buddy has one, and he doesn't want a front license plate. So he goes to the same guy to get inspected. And the guy goes, "Listen, the last 2 years, he goes, I probably shouldn't have passed this. He goes, I can't pass it. Because Massachusetts now, when you get inspected." I don't know about New York or Connecticut, but they have four cameras in the corner, and the guy doing the inspection wears a camera himself.
Oh, my God.
And they have four. Listen to me. This is God's honest truth.
Oh, God.
So this just started maybe a year ago. So many people opted out of doing it because they had to upgrade like $100,000 in equipment
Jesus
and everything.
Christ.
The operator wears a camera, and there's a board of like four or five people that actively sit in Lincoln, they all have to have high-speed internet service. They check, like, random, right?
This is
and you'll
insane.
Lose your license if you get caught. So they don't pull any funny business.
Ugh.
None, right? But this guy tells him, he goes, listen, if you want, I know a guy in New Hampshire that can refurbish your plate. It costs $200, right? He sends it. The guy's like, send me the plate. You send it with the self-addressed stamped envelope already in it. You send it on this day like it's all hush-hush. And he refurbished the guy's plate. They use reflective paint and everything.
Wow.
It looks brand new, like it just came out of the package, right? It's just so funny. I just saw it today. But it's just so funny because whenever you see the white and green license plates in Massachusetts, they're always like just falling apart. And people are like hanging on to them for dear life. But it was like $200, I think he said. But I was like, it's just so funny. Everybody's got a little scam going. This guy's refurbishing mass license plates in New Hampshire. It's like just everybody's got to make a buck somewhere, huh?
Listen, is that like so a funny. Like a federal That's, crime? Like, or is it really
know.
That bad
I imagine,
to do that?
I mean, I think if they're doing it legally, not legally, but if they're doing it reflective paint and it works,
it's not
I
like
mean,
they're changing
I
the number.
See what the problem is, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm sure there's some sort of standard that the plate is held to, right? Like it needs to have like
well,
that's
yeah,
a
they test
paint
the
reflect
yeah,
like,
they test the reflective nature of it and everything. Yeah.
How do you think
the other day Nick
with his motorcycle, the big sticker on his license plate. Nick, Matt's brother.
What over the plate
yeah.
Oh yeah, well what I was gonna say was we have a buddy who's we have a buddy who's got a tow truck company, and the other day Macklin and I when we were going to pick up the auger, he like blazed by us with his not the flatbed with like the hook truck, and the last like 2 inches of his plate were just folded over like a piece of paper
for the tolls.
And we're like, and everybody calls him Cuz. And I pull up to him, I go, Cuz, what's going on with your plate? And he goes, what's wrong with my plate? And he just like blazes away. I'm like, nice, dude.
I'm sure there's a lot of that shit in the Long Island.
But meanwhile, his name, his phone number is all over the freaking car. So it's like you're not getting
the DOT number.
Yeah, all that shit.
He's
going to
get fined
so
even more.
Literally, there's a paving company that's like this real like Goomba, like mafioso style paving company in Glen Cove. And all their trucks have black asphalt completely covering the license plates.
Yeah.
Like, and you could tell it was just like it's not even near where the asphalt would ever be. But they're just completely covered. They're just black tags hanging from the back of the car. They look like mud flaps at this point.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You guys working on anything good?
What am I working on? I made my wedding band out of titanium.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. Came out nice.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it came out nice. It was.
Was it like a kit thing from like?
No, I took a piece of titanium. I drilled a hole in it, really? And I turned it. Oh, where is it? Oh, there's my.
You animal.
That's it.
Wow.
You didn't want stainless Damascus from our friend?
Nice.
He actually, Craig actually offered me. He said, "If you want, I'll send you a chunk of stainless Damascus, but you have to line that with the silver." And I was like,
"Oh, why? Because it rusts or?"
Yeah, and Angela knows this. It's not like a secret. I have no interest in wearing a ring. It's dangerous.
It's kind of dangerous. Yeah,
like, I'm never gonna wear a ring, and she knows that. So it's literally like for the wedding and like to very occasionally wear, but I'm used to having every time I've ever worked with titanium, I've always had carbide to do everything, like carbide end mills, whatever. Yeah. So I had to drill a hole in it with just a high speed steel.
How did that work?
And it was a nightmare. It took like it was an inch and an eighth hole. It had to take 35 minutes.
Oh my god! How was the bit even
pulling it out?
How did the bit survive?
It was so dull by the time I was done, I threw it away. Yeah, it was a brand new inch and an eighth hole saw, bimetal hole saw, and it was just trash by the end of it.
You were just grinding there wasn't even teeth left in it. It was just the metal grinding into the titanium to cut
it. Where'd you get the chunk of titanium?
I got it on eBay. I had it from like from when I was – because you know what it is? It's the same thickness that I use for when I make the clips on my knives, the little pocket clip. So it's like – it was maybe like a – it was maybe like about a quarter inch thick, and then I cut like a circle with the hole saw with the hole in the middle. Then I chucked it in the lathe. I drilled the bore, and I bored it with like a boring bar to get the right size for my finger. And then I made a little aluminum mandrel with like a wedge that would hold the ring. And then I turned the outside shape on the lathe. And then I just finished up the inside with like a Dremel and stuff. It took me like 3 hours to make.
You couldn't have wasted
that?
Maybe
respect. I mean, even if I did, it would have needed the same amount of cleanup work. So,
But just for the cutting.
Maybe respect it's... I don't think it would cut that thick of titanium.
Probably not. I'm just thinking because the hole saw was a nightmare. I wonder if the laser, but it probably would have took an hour.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have cut it or something.
Well, the real nightmare was the fact that the first one I made too big and I had to start over.
Oh my God, that was pretty upsetting.
I overbored it. I misread the DRO and I overbored it. And it was like, you know, just once you go over, that's it. It's done.
Why don't you give it, send it to me. I'll just say I made it.
Yeah, that's right. You can have it.
I was
but it made
make
me respect
one. Patrick
the ring
Adair was going to, he was going to send me a kit, but I got to figure out what size my finger is.
Yeah.
To order one. So I got to do that still.
Yeah, I was being cheap and I didn't want to buy like the ring making mandrel. You ever seen those? It's like I didn't want to buy one because it was like $50. So I made one out of aluminum and I probably spent $200 in time making it. titanium rings are stupid cheap, and I definitely spent like a couple hundred dollars in time and tooling on this one. So whatever, it's the thought.
You
want
to make one out of gold or platinum?
I wouldn't make one out of gold or platinum. It wouldn't.
Can you imagine? You'd be like smacked. Like
I would waste so much
brushing up the dust. Like that's what they do, right? Like I don't even. I would never risk doing something like that. I mean, I don't even know.
I love watching videos people making rings.
Yeah. You know what's a good video? Is the one where they make the Cuban links or something? Like the big gold chain.
That is ridiculous.
It's like crazy how rough it starts. And it turns into this perfect,
polished. So much work.
Like, I don't know. And then all the dust, you got to save all that gold dust. And I don't know.
Remember when Alex Steele was doing all that stuff in gold? And when he was making, I think he made his
wife's
engagement ring. And he would always be like, he'd have a piece of paper. Underneath his vise, and when he was done, he would like fold up the paper, you know, and then you
what
push
a pain
it back
in the
into
ass
a thing.
That is, though, huh?
So, I mean, you drop it, but like, oh my god, I just dropped $10,000 of.
But you know what's so funny? What's so funny is that like, you do that with gold, right? And gold is a precious metal, right? But you can buy, like, if you buy aerospace-grade titanium, it is probably as much per ounce as that gold is, and you'll make chips on the on a machine all day and just put them right in the fucking garbage. You know, because you don't think, like, oh, I'm going to melt this back down. It's garbage at that point, right? But you'll see someone, like, because does Alex Steel really need the filings of that gold? You know, like, is that going to change his life?
Little, probably sitting in a little bottle somewhere in his toolbox.
Yeah, I don't even know what gold, the price of gold is relative.
It's not worth that much.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, for the weight of it? Like, I'm trying to picture how much, like, I don't know, like a ring. Like, it's just a men's wedding band made out of gold. How much is that gold worth?
I don't know. Let's see.
It's like a couple grand.
Like, well, like, gold is only worth, no. Dude, when I got Angela a new setting for her engagement ring, the guy was like, oh, you can sell the platinum from the old setting. It was worth like $100. I was like,
what?
And platinum is like so expensive. I was like, really? That doesn't seem like enough. And he was like, literally, he's like, we'll weigh it and I'll pull up the thing that shows the current day's price of platinum and that's how much you'll get. Like, it's not, there's no trickery here.
Yeah.
So it says that most women's gold wedding rings weigh between 1 gram and 7 grams. Most men's wedding rings weigh between 3 and 9 grams. So let's just see. Say it weighs 8 grams. How much is 8 grams of gold worth?
I looked up platinum. It's $31 a gram. I thought it would be a lot more than that.
Well, it's 28 ounce. Well, it's 28 grams in an ounce, right?
That's $900. It's $1,000 per ounce. It says it right here.
That's how much platinum is right now?
Yeah, is this the right thing?
So 8 like, grams of gold is worth $458.
What's that?
I don't know.
Wait, no, how much in gold?
Gold is worth
8 grams.
Is worth $458. So platinum right now is $1,100 is $1,000 an ounce and gold is $1,800 an ounce. So when I made I bought Angela's ring, platinum was a lot more than gold at that time. But
I always thought platinum was a lot more.
So yeah, that's platinum
really is.
Platinum is way, way down. In May, platinum was $1,200 an ounce. Now it's $1,000 an ounce. That's 20%.
We gotta invest in platinum.
That's a huge loss.
Buy the dip.
Now it's the time.
I get
to buy.
Christina's ring made. I paid so much money for that thing, and it's so gaudy, and it's like a cocktail ring. It's like so out of style.
Does it look like costume jewelry? Because
it's like a million diamonds. I was just a fucking like a little hotto that, you know, wanted to get this like crazy ring, and it just like it's so obnoxious, and like we go out, and people just look at it because it just doesn't like fit us, you know, and it just. I don't know. Like, it doesn't have any. I mean, I don't think she'd ever just, like, get rid of it, but I think she'd rather have something different that she could wear all the time, but she never wears it. I never wore my ring. When I first started at the Pizza Parlor, the department I was in, we weren't allowed to wear rings, so I just never wore it.
Oh, yeah.
Just never. I was going to get a tattoo of it one time, but it just never happened. But.
Yeah, it's funny. So when I made that ring, I was also working on something on the CNC. And after I made it, I put it on my finger just to kind of like see how it felt. And I literally was thinking that I'm going to get YouTube comments about someone being like, oh, you shouldn't have a ring on in the shop from like the three clips. Seriously, I get all the shit, the fucking headphones. I wear rubber gloves and people are like, you shouldn't wear gloves on the lathe. I'm like, a rubber glove.
A rubber glove?
Rubber gloves are fine. Like just you know, no sweatshirt, no Apple Watch. Everyone's an asshole.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I've been working on. Derek, what have you been working on?
I was working on a couple signs. I wanted to make a gift for the director of the show, so making a sign for him, and the other one I haven't heard back from him what he wanted, so just doing that. It's funny, I'm doing like a different process. That kid, it was so funny, the kid that does those cutting boards with the epoxy, he reached out
to
me.
What's his name again?
Shane's Hardwood or something.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, hey, somebody mentioned that you mentioned me on a podcast and I want to hear the podcast. He's like, listen to it. He thought it was a riot, but it's funny. Like he like knows nothing like about the lathe. Like, I mean about the CNC, he just knows what he needs to know to get the job done. So we were on a call the other day, and he's like, oh, you're doing it all wrong. You got to do it this way. And I never realized, like, all these guys that are doing these signs, they're doing them totally different than me. And I you just use all end mills for everything. They just use all V-bits, even for stuff that they're not, like, V-carving, because the point makes such a precise thing. So they'll use end mills to clear all the material, and then they use the V-bit. But I was like, I don't know how to do that. I was like, I don't think you can do it. He's like, yeah, I use Vetric. So he showed me how to do it, and I was like, oh, my God. So a program I was running, it was taking like 3.5 hours. It was like 40 minutes. It was like just so different.
Wow.
But I'm having a problem with it, with the offset. See what he does. He does, like, say he does a big logo, and it's like the main color is like blue. He'll do the whole thing blue. Then he cuts into the epoxy, the color. Then he cuts into, he keeps cutting into the epoxy. I'm cutting into MDF. So I have to make sure that, like, that line is gone, you know, between the colors.
Oh.
So I have to do offsets and all this. So I think I'm going to start trying to do it the way he does it. There'll be a little bit of epoxy wasted, but I think in the end they're going to look better, you know. And the other thing he does, he surfaces at the end. So he just pours all the epoxy right over it. I'm, like, out there with droppers, like, getting it perfect. Because I don't want to surface it. I don't want it perfectly flat in the end. I want each color to be, you know, a little bit different, you know, like texture, you know, so.
Or a little dimension to the.
Yeah, yeah.
To the piece.
You know, so I'm going to see how they looked, you know, surface to see if that's it. I mean, it'd be much faster because you're just dumping the color on it. But it's just funny. Like, I'm, like, thinking, like, here's somebody who has no idea what he's doing. And, like, me who think I do know somewhat what I'm doing. And he teaches me something new, you know. So it's just nice to, you know, he's a funny guy to talk to and stuff like that. But he does some good shit, you know.
Yeah, I looked at some of his stuff. He does some nice stuff.
Dude, he's in, like, with this crowd. He did a bunch of cutting boards for the girl there. What's her name? Ronda Rousey there or whatever.
Oh, wow.
MMA fight. Yeah, he did, she does some, like, butcher shop or something. She, like, co-owns something. He's just funny. He's like, they raise cattle, then slaughter him for the beef and
then,
stuff.
Then goes, she beats him to death?
He goes.
She, like, fights the cattle to death?
He goes, the meat's killer. Like, he's like, just, you know, he's just a fucking idiot pot. But yeah, I don't know what the hell, how he got involved with these people, but it's like, you know, I don't know. He's got
his
nice
signs look great. They look like they're printed on a freaking, yeah, like, on a laser printer.
Yeah. And it's just funny because he, like, laughs about it. He's like, he has no clue. Like, he just stumbles through them, you know? He showed me a video when he was doing, like, all the cutting boards. Every room in his house had cutting boards laid on it, and he's just pouring epoxy everywhere. It's just, like total chaos, you know?
That's kind of funny. I mean, I guess that's the burden of that, right? You need to have, like, surfaces everywhere that you can pour epoxy on. And then now, does he do it like you do where it's all in, like, kind of one – like, you can't take it off the machine, right? Or does he have a way to index
them
so that
he
can –
he has his machine – he has his bed set up with, I think, like, hard stops over it. So, he kind of just, like, keys them in there, you know?
Yeah.
So, but –
Yeah, what I realized is, I realized this recently because I've been using my Tormach CNC a lot, and that if I move my limit switches, I can make it so that my machine, because my machine has whatever it is, the stepper servos, so it knows where it is all the time.
Yeah.
So right now when my machine zeroes, it zeroes off the machine bed by like an inch in either direction. But I realized if I move my limit switches, I could make it so that when my machine zeroes, it zeroes right on the corner. And then if I put in a stop block, I could take stuff off the machine and put it back on, and it'll always be exactly the same.
Yeah.
It took me like a year to realize that. So.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes it's just, you know, hard to realize that stuff.
Yeah. I've been using my CNC a lot. It's been actually like I've been really getting like more comfortable using it. But
yeah.
It's still not as easy as pushing a goddamn button like everybody says.
No, it's just, that's like the biggest joke. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, it's so easy. It's like,
with plasma, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm having issues with my laser. I got to get that thing, like, realigned, the mirrors. It's just so difficult. Everybody's like, oh, it should only take 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I spent 2 hours, and it just, like,
probably schmutz
I get
on the mirror
process.
Again. You had that problem.
Well, I think it just gets out of alignment after a while, you know, from banging around and stuff like that. I don't know, but it just, I'm like, it just wasn't, it was cutting through 3/8 plywood, no problem. And then it just kind of stopped. And then I noticed I cut like a whole table full of shit, and one, and the stuff in one corner looked like shit. So that's what's kind of like what noticeable, because, you know, the mirror, as it moves out, it gets more, you know, the screw up gets, you know, magnified. So it's just more noticeable, you know, but yeah. So it just kind of sucks, but I just don't want to deal with that, but I'm going to have to figure and work on that, figure that out. But
let's get a new one.
Yeah. I wish I could
find somebody to send you on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
What have you been doing, Paul? How's the truck? What's the story with the truck? Give us a quick truck update.
The truck is back. Oh, my old truck.
The one that's in like 9,000 pieces.
Yeah, the truck's completely apart. Me and Louie took the motor out. I'm really tired.
It's an Evaporust?
No, I wish I need some. I probably should reach out to him. But we took the motor out. We took the transmission out. I think I got to get the frame like tweaked a little bit. There's like one area in the front. I think I mentioned that. But I don't think it's a big issue, and I could probably do it myself if I had to. Still struggling with the bed, and what I think my only option is to utilize the side panels of the existing bed and then cut off the top where it like flares out, and then it turns into that rounded, you know, edge of the bed. Cut that off and just have new ones fabricated and weld that on.
Because yeah, I saw that on your story. That looks like a good idea.
I think that's going to be my only option because nobody makes Ford F3 body panels.
Mm.
And the other thing I'm going to have to do is when I ordered the new fenders for the front, I got to get one of those bead rollers where they have those dies where it folds the edge of the metal back over on itself.
Yeah,
as you progressively. Yeah, that's what I need to get. So I got to cut the wheel well, like wells bigger in the F1 fenders to make them accommodate the F3 tires and then fold that edge over on itself. But, you know, I think it's all doable. And then the running boards, I need to just find a way to fabricate those too. Because those are trashed and I can't get new ones that are long enough.
I feel like that shouldn't be a big deal, though. The other thing, you guys have access to those, like, bigger steel shops that probably do press brake and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, my guy, like, when I did those lion sculptures, he just did all the press brake for me. Like, if you brought them, even if you made a small sample yourself, basically a cross section.
Yeah.
And, like, even if you welded it or bent it yourself and said, hey, I need this in 8 feet long or something like that, you know? I mean, shit, you could weld all that stuff. It's not like you have to make this 10 times, right? Like,
yeah.
You could just fab this whole thing up.
The running boards are a little difficult because they're not sharp bends. They're like very rounded. It's like a 2-inch radius. Like it starts, it comes up with a really big radius bend. Then it's got little or raised little details that run the length of the running boards that looks like someone used like a planishing hammer or whatever those things are, those auto body things where you have the die that puts like a ridge in the metal. So there's like 5 ridges that run long ways, and then it has another like sweeping bend up. So you'd have to kind of make just like custom dies for a press brake out of like pipe to get that big wide or like out of some.
Well, those dies exist though. I mean, people have to do those round bends. You could, if you found like a good press brake shop, you really should talk to Matt because he knows.
That's true.
He knows a dude that does like a bunch of like stainless sinks. I think.
That's what I would need.
And Matt, like the guy has like a press brake shop, but doesn't weld or something like that. So Matt's like constantly going there and like welding shit for him. And it's like these, he'll do like a stainless countertop with a stainless sink welded into it.
Oh.
And Matt will do the welding. And like, I don't think he does do the blending. I think the other dude will do the blending if Matt does the weld. Anyway, you should just talk to him. Cause I mean, obviously if it's just one or two pieces, then
yeah,
you could even just have them fabricated here and, you know, have this guy do it. Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's the guy you got to talk to about that body.
Yeah, I got to talk to Matt.
He has one of those, you know how like they have the body hammer where it's on the stand and you like roll the
that, yeah,
into it?
Yeah.
Matt has one of the ones where you bring it to the car and it's like,
wow,
you hold it in your hand and it's made by this guy. He showed it to me and it's like, it looks like a big C and this guy sells them. And they're expensive. It was like a couple thousand bucks.
Wow.
But the idea is that when you weld a new panel on a car, you blend it and then you bring this over to the car and you move it on the car because you're not going to take the whole fender or the whole side panel off the car. So, yeah, Matt, you got to talk to him about it.
Definitely.
He could definitely help you. When are we having the pizza truck party at the Fairfield Steelworks, dude?
That,
I'll drag
that,
him up for that.
Dude, that's good. I know. I gotta. Actually, I forgot all about that. I want to do that hopefully soon, but we got some more.
We got the Delta variant.
We got the Delta coming in. You know, we got some more work to do at the shop.
I can make some pizzas from the shop.
That's right.
Yeah, I forgot you're the...
They wouldn't be fresh by the time I get down
pizza
there,
pizza maker.
And I'm out of the shop for a while, so...
Pizza man. What have you guys been watching?
I was just looking to see what I've been watching, and I've actually been watching Robinson Foundry. The guy has, like, very, like, monotone voice. He reminds me of, I forget the guy's name. I can't think of it.
Robinson.
When you listen to it, you'll know who I'm talking about. But he just does, like, these, like, pours of things he makes with a 3D printer. It's pretty cool, though.
Oh, wow.
I always want to try that. Yeah, he makes some
cool
shit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the kind of thing where, like, once you get into it, it doesn't feel so hard. Like, you know who does Blackbeard projects? I feel like every video that I watch of him, he's like casting something in aluminum from like scraps of shit that he has. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Robinson Foundry. I watched that William Osmond video where he makes his own X-ray machine. Did you guys see that?
Oh my God. That sounds like a cancer waiting to happen.
It's fucking crazy. He literally buys like a broken X-ray machine on eBay and then like a 60,000 volt power supply.
I have no interest
in that. And
then
another power supply, and he literally builds an X-ray tube running off of just like rogue power supplies in his fucking garage. And at one point he has to change his design because his design is literally stacked up on bean cans. Like, literally, like, baked
bean
cans and soup cans.
This is exactly who we want, dealing with radioactive machines.
And the high voltage is arcing off the can. So he's like, I got to change them out for cardboard. Yeah. And his wife is there, and she's like, I think it's his wife. And she's like, what? This is not
she's
safe.
Like, I
he has
shouldn't
a Geiger
have married
counter
you.
Counting the radiation. So he was his defense of it was saying that, like, when you get x-rayed at an airport, it's like, you know, like thousands of times more radiation than what he's able to produce with this little tube. But I don't know. It still seems a little much.
I was going to eat those
beans.
See,
like his
die.
Videos more if you didn't make them so shitty. Like everything's like just so thrown together. Like,
It was. I noticed that too. I was like, this dude has 2.5 million subscribers and his video's like
and
shaky and it's like shitty.
And that's what I don't know if that's the charm of it, people say, but like that's what why I can't watch them.
Why would he make them better? He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He has 2.5 million subscribers. Like, why would he bother making them any different than he already does?
Yeah. Who am I to critique him with my 6,000?
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Paul, what are you watching?
I watched Bert Kreischer's podcast. He did an interview with Casey Neistat, which I thought was a really interesting interview. And I like Bert and I love Casey. I'm actually like, I was thinking about it. I should just go back and start watching his videos over again. Like that was like when life was good. Like I was in high school, everything was fun. Like there was no, you know, worries. He'd come home, he'd watch a Casey Neistat video every single day. life was just good. There was no, you know.
There was one every day.
There's no Delta variants. Mm. There's no COVID. You know, none of this shit.
Mm. No masks.
What's going on today?
We had other problems, so it always seemed better.
But it's gotten worse in the past. It's been accelerated over the past 2 years.
Yeah, what, the shittiness of the world?
Like the 50s. Yeah. Like it was like the worst decade ever. You know?
I don't know. Every day another more fucked up thing happens. I don't know.
I don't know. Senior year was like, of high school was fun. I don't know.
I hated my fucking senior year.
Yeah.
You didn't go your senior year? Is that what you said?
I hated it.
Oh.
Remember my parents forced me to go to my graduation. No one go to it.
Funny.
A fucking loser.
But I don't know.
We'll end it on a positive.
Yeah. Well, nice. Shout out to everybody who listens to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm
this
sorry
far.
To put everybody to sleep tonight, but
it's great. Thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Jeff, for making it this far. Shout out to Tyler Bell. My tennis racket has not arrived yet, and
fucking Tyler.
It was shipped, Tyler, but it hasn't arrived yet, and I'm starting to think that. I don't know. I don't know if it's coming. I don't know what happened.
He scammed you, dude. He scammed you straight up.
He scammed me. He scammed me. Kid scammed me. Well, I got news for you, buddy. I'm calling Boeing in the morning, and I'm gonna have a word with them about the kind of shit you got going on. You know who I'm calling? I'm calling the HOA.
I'm gonna tell them that
you got an engine swap going on in that garage, and you got a lot of projectiles. So you listen here. If that tennis racket doesn't show up by the time I get back from Florida, you're getting evicted. That's a promise.
That's what I would do. I'd have him thrown out.
That's it. He's done. That's it. Thanks, guys, for listening. We will see you next week. And check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/handmadepodcast, Derek from Malden.patreon.org, and fairfieldsteelworks.net.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.